Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Paul's expression in the beginning of chapter 5, verse 1, is therefore. Paul has written a number of times preceding this verse of Scripture of the justification, salvation, and redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He states in verse 23 of chapter 3 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In verse 24, he writes, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Then in verse 28 of chapter 3, the same expression, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Paul also gave examples of people who were saved by the grace of God by exercising their faith in what God's grace and mercy had brought to the earth. And that is David in verse 6 of chapter 4. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man whom God imputeth righteousness without works. We also read in the very first verse of chapter 4, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted, that is his faith, unto him for righteousness. I can give another testimony without reading it from the Bible of a man who was saved by grace through faith, and that's myself. I want to plead to you this morning my case by telling you that I am a man who has been saved, and I was not saved by works of righteousness. I am not being saved by my service as a minister. I'm not being saved and made better every day in regard to my personal salvation by the things I do for you, or the things I do for God, or the things I do for my family. I am saved by the grace of God. I am saved by the grace of God, and the way I was able to access the grace of God is by faith. By faith, I have received, accepted, and given my soul to the care and keeping of Jesus Christ, based upon my understanding of what God did for me when Jesus came and lived a life of service and perfection as a human being, and then sacrificed himself on the cross. This is what I trust. I do not trust the Baptist Church. I do not trust Baptist doctrine. I do not trust my mother. I do not trust my father. I do not trust any human who lives upon this earth, nor do I give my soul salvation over to any other institution or individual. I've given my soul and its keeping and its cleansing to God Almighty through the work of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul said, therefore, being justified by faith. That is, because we are justified by faith, he tells us that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There are four specific provisions that God gives to us or provides for us in these two verses that I have read because we have been saved by grace through faith. They are peace with God. And if we will trust God, we can have peace with ourselves. We have access. Access to what? We have access to God through Jesus Christ. We also are given a place to stand. I need a place to stand. I need a place to stand that is not as the scriptures teach and the songs allude to, sinking sand. I need a firm foundation on which I may stand in this, the last days of my life upon this earth. I need grace. I need strength. I need wisdom to stand for the faith once delivered to the saints, and I need it in order to serve you as a pastor. I need a place to stand. And then Paul wrote that we have a place to stand that is of rejoicing. We don't have to stand neck deep in sadness. We don't have to stand waist deep in disappointment, frustration, and aggravation. We can stand solidly upon that which grace and faith gives us access to, and that is, as Paul wrote, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Therefore, being justified. That is, we have been set forth as righteous in the sight of God. God made a decision when we made a decision. When we said, God, your word is true. You tell me that I have come short of your glory, and I believe that, and I know that, and I accept that. And now that I have accepted that as an undeniable fact, not only of truth in Scripture, but as an undeniable fact in my mind and my heart, I know that I have sinned. And you have told me, God, if I would trust what Jesus Christ did on the cross, if I would let that be my plea to you, what Jesus did. He took my place. He stood in my place. He paid for my sins with His life and with His blood. And I accept that. When I did that, then God did something. He wrote righteous by my name and declared me righteous as the judge of all the universe, as the one who looks into the hearts of every human being, who knows the thoughts and intents of everyone who's sitting here this morning and who's ever lived upon this earth. When I made that decision and that commitment by faith, then God declared me righteous to all the universe, and someday I'll stand in His presence as a person who has been raised from the dead, a righteous person. And I didn't do it. God did. I didn't declare I was righteous. That's self-righteousness. God declared me righteous because of the work of Jesus Christ. Now, therefore, being justified by faith upon this spiritual circumstance that exists between God and me, or between you and God, we have peace with God. God doesn't stop there. He again emphasizes how this peace came. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word peace, as it's written here, means to rest. To rest in contrast to having strife and denoting the end of all strife. I may not be at peace with every human in this world, but I can tell you that I am at peace with God Almighty. That everything that needed to be settled for the salvation of my soul was settled when I received the provision that God had made for me and you in the death, the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. I am at peace with God. I may not be at peace with myself because I recognize my fallibility. I recognize my shortcomings. I recognize my inability. I recognize that I am a human in a human body. And there are many faults and flaws that I still possess and sins that I commit. But as far as my soul's salvation is concerned, as far as my right standing in the sight of God, I can tell you this morning that I am at peace with God. It is a declared righteousness. It is a declared peace. God is not warring against me. I am not warring against God. I have peace with God, and it has come through, that is, It has come to me through the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. But God freely granted his peace to me when he declared me a just or righteous person. I rather suspect that much of the world's problems today occurs because people are troubled and disturbed and at war with themselves, at war with one another, and at war with God. Isaiah described it in this fashion: "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest." This is a description of a man who has not trusted in Jesus Christ, as a person who has not accepted the offering of God that he makes through his Son, Jesus Christ. The word "through" means proceeding from. We have peace with God through our proceeding from our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It means making the agency or the instrument of action. What is the agency or instrument of action that has brought peace to me? It is what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And you'll notice that Paul speaks of faith. "Therefore, being justified by faith," we, plural, you and me and everyone else who has been justified, they have been justified by faith. Let me emphasize again to you this morning that faith is not foggy. Faith is not sailing around in a fog so dense that we cannot see and we cannot hear, that we're sailing around in an isolated circumstance where we can't even feel our way, that we, as some describe it, have simply made a leap into the dark. A leap into the dark is not faith, it is stupidity. Do not leap into the dark. Do not sail out into the fog, but make a decision that is based upon undeniable truth and inalienable information. Faith is a commitment that is made because of knowledge of an object, and our faith commits ourselves to that object. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I want you to know that the faith that we're talking about here is a faith that may and should be learned early. When I read in verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 11 that by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, I look back at verse 23 and I read, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents." Faith that saves is not genetically passed from generation to generation, but it can very well be instilled by generation to generation, teaching the truth of God. Now, Moses grew up with a knowledge of his father and mother's religion, Judaism. They hid him by faith because they saw that he was a proper child. And they, quote, "were not afraid of the king's commandment." Faith begets faith. When we see faith working in another person of faith, we know that faith is genuine, that it is effective. And the parents and the children of his parents, his brothers and sisters, had faith, and Moses was hidden. Listen, we sometimes think that what goes on in the younger grades in Sunday school is of the least importance. We'd like to place our best teachers in our adult, young adult classes, in our teenage classes. But I can tell you this, that for a child to have faith, it needs to start in father and mother who have faith and therefore can teach faith. And I want this church to realize that the Sunday school The teaching ministry of this church is going to be focused not on the teenagers exclusively, not on the elderly exclusively, but if there is a focus that I want to see in this congregation, it is upon our children. Not teenagers, but children. If they have not heard and seen demonstrations of pure faith and have seen people of faith in their second year upon this earth, third year upon this earth, fourth year upon this earth, they may well never see it, and they may well never feel it. So I'm telling you, like the parents of Moses, we need to give ourselves to be people of faith, not only to those who are of age, but we need to also give it to people and share it with people who are in their very beginning of life. Moses was not only informed about the religion of the Jews, about the faith of the Jews, about the faith of the prophets, about the teachings of the prophets, but he also was taught in all the ways of the Egyptians, the Bible teaches us. Now, knowing all that his parents could teach him about Jehovah God, and knowing all that the instructors of the Egyptians could teach him about all the things of Egyptian life and circumstances, upon that information, upon the information that came from his parents and from other Jewish people of faith, and upon the information that he had about the Egyptians and the ways of the Egyptians, notice this. And by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, why did he do that? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. See, he knew all these things. He knew what would come to him as he was reproached for the sake of the promised one. He knew about the riches of Egypt. Moses had information. He knew about the Egyptians and the riches that they possessed. And he knew about his mother and father and the blessedness of their relationship to God through the promised one. And he chose what his father and mother had as he saw faith and dedication in them and no fear of what Pharaoh might do, fearless in this circumstance, and they took their baby and they saved his life rather than giving up to the Egyptians to be taken. Moses had knowledge and he waited, but he made a choice. Faith gives us the ability to make a choice, but we have to have information in order to choose between the things that we face. Now, you face death and destruction and separation from God, or you face union with God, justification in the sight of God, mercy from God, salvation from God, eternity in the presence of God. Now, there's your choice. It's laid out before you. You know these things. Then make your choice. The choice is, I want to be with God. I want to be forgiven. I want to be justified. And the only way I can achieve that is to access the mercy of God by faith. I cannot access it with my pocketbook. How much would I give God? How much would I lay before God and say, God, I'm laying all this before you, and in return I expect that you will justify me, that you will cause me to be born again, that you will give me eternal life. How much would I lay before God? The Bible tells us we are not purchased. Our salvation is not purchased with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I cannot give God anything, but I can plead what Jesus gave God, which was his sacrifice upon Calvary. So, therefore, being justified by faith. Thank God that this is the way that God has planned, that this is the way that God has decreed that our justification and our salvation will come. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, notice, We have more than that. By whom we also have access. See, it doesn't stop there. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. How can we access the grace of God? The grace of God is not just something we access for salvation, but it is the absolute, immense, innumerable, unfathomable, unstorable, nothing can hold it, nothing can contain it, grace of Almighty God. How can we access the love and the mercy and the riches and the glory of God Almighty? He said, well, will God give me a key? Yes. God has given to all of us a key. That is, the key is faith. And you must be the one who exercises that faith, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, through whom Jesus Christ. Access means a leading or bringing to the presence of anyone, freedom of access. We have freedom of access. Isn't it wonderful? And it happens so rarely to me that you could walk into some organization and you really want to see the top man because you need something. And when you do, the president or so sees you and he says, hey, come on in. You know, I have to deal with the secretary or somebody. Do you ever feel good about that? I was trying to get the health department to review our plans and grant us approval so that we could get our building approved through the planning commission here in Bryant. And boy, it was just crowding up to the last day. And I know Rich and I run around in circles. We had about 2 days to get everything done, detention ponds and all that stuff. I thought, well, I'll take it. I don't know what's going to happen. I took it up there, and I finally got up to a point, and I was telling a secretary outside the office what I wanted. And as I talked, a woman from inside said, Brother Penn, is that you? I said, yes, ma'am, it's me. And I went around the door. She said, come on in. I went in, and she was the personal secretary to the head of the health department. And she said, what do you want? And I told her, and she said, come with me. And I went into his office. He said, sit down, Brother Penn. I said, well, I got this stuff for you. And he said, well, I'm going to sign that. Bring it over here. Just talk to you. Well, I can see churches building. That's great. That's what I felt good about that. Just somebody from my past waved me on by all the problems and weeks of waiting and correcting or whatever. You say, can you do that with God? Yes, I can. You know why I can do that with God? And I don't mean to be cavalier or irreverent. I can do it with God because Jesus says, I know you. Come on in. Let us therefore boldly come to the throne of grace. Boldly come to the throne of grace. Why? Because we are using the name and the work and the reputation of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, well, I got to clean myself up first. No, God's already cleaned you up if you've trusted in Him. That I got to get the right clothes on. Well, you ought to already have the robe of righteousness on, the robe of salvation on. You ought already be dressed to be in the very presence of God Almighty because you've been cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. So if you need something, knock and it shall be given. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and you'll find. Go ahead and ask and God will usher you into the very presence of Himself, the throne of grace, and make your petitions known and make your pleas known and offer your thanksgiving. You have a right to be there. Why? Because you've trusted into Jesus Christ. We have access. How? By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein ye what? Wherein ye stand. We have a place to stand, and it is on the grace of God Almighty. We have a solid place to stand. It's not sinking under our feet. We're not worried about it. It doesn't shake. It doesn't read the headlines and get frustrated and not know what to do. It doesn't read the obituaries and get filled with tears and sadness. It doesn't read the hospital reports of those who are near death. It nothing affects this base upon which we stand, this foundation upon which we stand. Nothing affects it because it is the foundation that is laid by Jesus Christ. No other foundation can man lay than is laid. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I'm standing on the work of Jesus Christ and the grace of Almighty God. I have access to this grace. It is the foundation of my physical life, the foundation of my spiritual life, and as Paul said, the hope in which I may rejoice, which is a hope that's of the right nature, and therefore God is glorified. Rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. We are able to speak loudly. We're able to boast oneself and to glory or exult in this which has come to us because of faith. Hope is an expectation of something future, a well-grounded expectation and a gladly and firmly held prospect of a future good. The glory of God speaks of His honor and truth and splendor and brilliance and power. All of these things are together. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory. Then he added an addenda. Save, that is, just exclude the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll not glory in anything else, but let me glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a future. That is a future that's settled. We have peace with God now and forever through Jesus Christ. We have access to the things of God. We can offer our prayers to Him. We have peace with God, and we have a place to stand, and we have a place to glory. Why? Because by faith we have trusted into the provision that God has made for us in and through the offering of Jesus Christ. Will you stand with me, please, as we sing a hymn of invitation this morning? Thank you.
about 10 years old, and I'm 48, so it's been a long time. I've been around here a lot longer than some of you, but that's okay. It is a pleasure to know that my mother is loved and my father was loved and cherished, and your outpouring of blessings has been overwhelming to each of us. All of my family that has been here has been overwhelmed by your graciousness, and it's just a great feeling to know as I leave this week that I leave my mother in great care. And I appreciate your prayers and your kindnesses so very much.
Thank you.
Stacy said that.
That's right. Amen.
Now, with the beer dismissed. Remember tonight, Lord's Supper, 5 o'clock, and at 5:10, supper.
That's right.
Ice cream, that's what she's
making. That's right.
That's what I'm talking about. Now, we'll have Lord's Supper. Then we'll have a time of fellowship and enjoy one another's company. And there are dishes in the kitchen that you want to pick up and get the ice cream.
That's right. That's right.
Dad's favorite.
As we dismiss then.